Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee and Anna Mae, a podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ, provoke you to find your calling in the Lord, brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on a journey to reaching the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. So sit back, we hope you enjoy the podcast, and we pray it encourages and blesses you.
Welcome to Crosstalk. Today we have Tony Holden with us, and we're excited to have him. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Welcome, Tony.
Welcome.
And Bill's going to start with the first question for you, Tony.
Okay, Pastor Tony. When and where did you get saved? And what brought you to the decision of making Jesus Christ your Savior?
So, I know we're going to talk about this a little more later on, but so I got saved when I was a teenager. I was 16 years old. I got saved in Orlando, Florida, and it was Super Bowl weekend.
Amen.
And it was January of 1993, actually January 30th, 1993.
Praise God.
And so how I got saved is like this. So we were at Super Bowl, you know, all the crew and the kids doing what they do, and they still do it now. Back then, it was a lot shorter than it is today, but we were there, and it was day one, and I was there with a bunch of friends. I'm not going to name all my buddies that was with me, but for the sake of not getting too deep into the weeds here, I'm doing some things I shouldn't have been doing. We'll just leave it at that. So later in the evening, that first night we were there, I went down to the lobby of the hotel. All the whole town was in the town, but I waited a specific time when I knew everybody would be gone. I needed to get a toothbrush from the little store in the lobby. So I went down there, and as I went down there, Georgie Wood was checking into the hotel, and he was at the front desk. And I knew George, but I didn't know George just because he was older than me. But I knew who he was, and I knew he was a Christian. And truthfully, I was kind of trying to jowl on him because I knew I wasn't doing right. And he stopped me and he started cracking to me. And, you know, we talked maybe for a minute. And, you know, he asked me a question, which was very simple but very profound at the same time. He asked me, how is your walk with God? And, you know, me being raised in a Christian home my whole life, literally my whole entire life, and going to church my whole life, I knew about Jesus and I knew about the story of Jesus and I knew all them things. So when he asked me that question, I wasn't ignorant to the fact of what he was asking, and it felt like somebody literally stabbed me in the chest, you know, in a sense, because I was, you know, I knew I was doing wrong. And I was, oh, I'm doing well and all that stuff. So we went back for our night, met up with my buddies, and we went away. Well, the next night, we were going to eat at the Benihana at the Hilton, the old Benihana at the Hilton in Orlando, there at Lake Buena Vista. It's about a 10-minute drive from the hotel we were staying in. And as me and there was five or six of us getting into a I shared it in church, just a super cab Silverado truck. We were all getting into it, and who showed up but Georgie Wood. And he said, can you give me a ride down to the restaurant?
Amen.
And truthfully, we was all blued. We loved Georgie, but he was older than us and he was saved and we weren't doing right. And so we all gets into the truck, and a 10-minute ride probably took us an hour and a half. We had traffic, but it was divine appointment of the Lord. And as we were sitting in the car, one of my cousins was in the car, actually my Aunt Mary Ann's boy, John Reese, and he started asking Georgie Wood questions about a certain topic. It was a deep topic, but he was asking him this, and so Georgie Wood just started sharing the gospel with all of us. He started talking about Jesus and being saved, and it was a very good witness and very spirit-filled. And you know, like I said, he was older than us and wiser than us, and he's sharing a lot of things that most of us in the car, I believe, already knew. Maybe some of us didn't, but I can tell you I did, just because I was raised in it. And when we got out of the car in the parking lot, we all got in a circle. There was probably seven or eight of us in the circle. We all grabbed hands, and
amen,
we all got saved right in the parking lot of the Benihana in Orlando, Florida.
Praise the Lord.
1993.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We've talked a lot about the 70s move, as you know, but you were a generation after that.
Yes.
And you grew up in church.
That's true.
And so you weren't saved then until you were 16, right?
I was 16, yes.
Talk about that a little bit, that generation later that wasn't saved, that was raised in church.
So, you know, one thing I've really enjoyed about the podcast is listening to everybody's testimonies, because I never experienced, you know, the 70s revival amongst travelers and what that was like. Right. I only ever heard about it. And that was the nice thing about these podcasts I've really enjoyed. But so my mother and father got born again before I was ever born, probably the year, maybe 2 years before I was born. Mm-hmm. And so I was literally raised in church. We went to church all the time. My mom sang in the choir. My dad helped in church. We painted the churches. We painted the insides of the churches. Right. And my mother and father was very involved. We went to two little Baptist churches in Florida my whole life. And then also, later on, as they become more popular, we went to a lot of the traveler churches. But and there was a lot of prayer meetings. And I just grew up in it all the time, right. A lot of young people did at that particular time. So I knew about the Lord, but I never experienced what my mother and father experienced. You know, I heard about it, but I never experienced that. So it was different for me because unlike my mother and father, and my grandparents were all wonderful people, and I believe they loved the Lord in their own way. But unlike them who had that radical experience, I was just raised in it. It was normal to me, going to church on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night and a midweek and all that thing. That was just our life. We used to have people come over. Victor Brown and his wife used to come once a week for 7 years to my mom and dad's house and have Bible studies. I was just surrounded by it.
Yeah.
But it didn't mean I was saved.
Right.
You know, and until I got a certain age, I didn't realize that. You know, when I was 10 years old, I was baptized and stuff like that, but I wasn't saved. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I didn't know what that was to really be born again. But when I did get born again, it was a life-changing thing for me because even though I was a teenager and I was young and there was a lot of things that were, facing you, you know, there's a lot of pressure when you're a kid and different things like that, but we stuck with it, and I got rebaptized. I got baptized at Fort Lauderdale Beach. Georgie Wood baptized me, and we went from there. But it was different because, again, I think, and we see it with a lot of kids, even my own kids included, just being raised in it all the time, you kind of get numb to it, like it's just normal. Mm-hmm. It's like getting up and going to work in the morning and coming back, and you're just, it's almost like a routine.
Right.
Amen. But
it wasn't until I had a born-again experience that I really understood what it was like to have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That was good, Tony, and when you were talking and you said, I was in church, but I couldn't rely on that, it makes me think of how many times we've heard we can't ride on somebody else's shirt tails.
Yes,
100%. We have to have it.
Well, and somehow, too, you think because we had that 70s, that radical thing, and we raised our kids up in church the same, you automatically think, like, okay, everybody's got it.
Right. But everybody don't.
No, well, I definitely didn't. Right. And the one thing I will say, though, on the positive side of that, is because I was raised in church, when Georgie Wood asked me that question, how my walk with God was, I knew I was wrong,
right.
And I knew I was in the wrong
conviction.
Place.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Eventually, all them things that I had been flooded with my whole life growing up, came back to me in an instant. Not not just, you know, like years later. Literally, when the time came, it came back to an instant, and I knew I needed to be saved.
Amen. That was your day of decision.
Exactly.
And so I'm going to ask you this. How did you get into the ministry, Tony?
So it's probably a two-part answer.
Oh, yeah.
So the first part would be this. So God's given me two ministries over the years. And when I say that is the first ministry God ever gave me was praise and worship. Mm-hmm. So after I got saved, we were down in Florida, and Billy Corrigan, old Billy Corrigan, and Henry McMillan were having Bible studies there. It was after... not long after Billy McKenzie's church, and he'd asked us to get Georgie Wood to come over and help with music, and Georgie Wood, you know, asked us young men to come over because I played the guitar and Ted Kelby played the guitar and asked us to come help, and we did, and we didn't know what we were doing, to be honest with you, but he did, and you know, he taught us a lot about praise and worship and practicing and getting prepared, and that was the first real ministry God ever gave me, was in praise and worship, and even to this day we still do it, and I'm thankful for it because it was the first thing. So that would be the first thing we did was was when there was an opportunity to be used, and I'm thankful. The one thing I would share in this format, if someone's listening, is if you have young people in your church, if you have young people in your town, make room for them to do something.
Amen.
All right, even if they're not perfect and they're not doing, you know, 100% of what you would like them to do, make room for them, because people made room for me. And if they hadn't made room for me, I don't know where I would be in my walk with God or in my ministry. So there was room made. Billy Corrigan and Henry McMillan made room for us, and Georgie Wood made room for us, and we ended up doing Exodus. That was our little worship band when we were teenagers, and we were cutting edge at the time. Nobody was doing it. Everybody laughed at us, but, you know, looking back on it now, we were kind of broke new ground, and it was a blessing. You know, the Lord blessed us. I learned a lot of things in them times. So that would be that time. And when I got called to preach the gospel, it was later. So my wife and I have been married a few years, and the Lord had been calling me. So about 1997, we were living in Baltimore, and Pastor Ernie had asked me to do the youth meetings that summer, and I was a little hesitant, but I did them that summer, and I did them the following summer. And I was still a young man, and, you know, the old saying, the grass is always greener on the other side, and I wanted out of Baltimore in the worst way. So we left, and we went up to Cherry Hill, and truthfully, it was three worst years of my life, work-wise and marriage-wise and everything else, because God was calling me to other things. He wanted me to do something completely different than what I was doing, but about that time, we were down in Florida, too, and while we were down there, son, Huey Stewart, started the church down there, and we started with praise and worship and helping him out, and one day he had a revival, and the Breyers came, you know, the Burden Lifters, and it was Dickie and Bobby and all of them guys, Johnny Clifford and Michael Thomas and Norman Broadway, young Norman Broadway, and they all came to, there was a fire hall, and that's where we were at, and I'll be honest with you, I can't remember whether it was young Bobby Breyer or Dickie that was preaching, but they were preaching, and they were preaching about Scotch travelers, our Scottish travelers. And then what they were, basically the point of it was they said, you need more of your own preaching the gospel. And it was something that I already know, and I had been baptized in the Holy Spirit earlier, you know, probably a few years prior to that. And so I knew God had a call on my life. But that night, they made an invitation at the altar, and they said, look, we need more of your people to preach to your people. And I could feel the tug of God. I knew the Holy Spirit was there. My heart was pounding out of my chest. And I just got up out of my seat, and I went to the altar, and I got down on my hands and knees, and just, and I looked at the Lord, and just like the Word of God says, I said, here I am, Lord, send me.
Amen.
And I had a lot of baggage. I'm not going to lie. You know, I was saved, but I had a lot of baggage. I was carrying a lot of hurts. I was carrying a lot of wounds. I was carrying a lot of bitterness, and there was people that I didn't speak to, and they didn't speak to me, and there was a lot of them things. I knew those were problems. You know, you can't do them things and be in the ministry, or can't do them things and be Christian, period.
Amen.
And be saved. But as I give it to the Lord, the one prayer I asked, I said, God, I said, for all these things that are baggage and that would hold me back, I said, God, you take them. And I said, anybody I've hurt, God, help them to forgive me. And the people that's hurt me, let me forgive them, God. And when the opportunity arises, Lord, let their hearts be softened towards me, and let my heart be softened towards them. Amen. And God did that. In every single instant, God did that. And he opened a door for ministry for me. And praise God for Pastor Huey down in Florida. He used me and my wife tremendously. I don't know where I'd be without them. Pastor Ernie and Joan in Maryland were crucial to our ministry, you know, Cornerstone, and this church here, Pastor Charlie Anime, New Life, has been just tremendous. And but that's what got me called into the ministry.
Amen.
And,
Amen.
You know, preach the gospel.
Praise Amen. God.
I'd like to talk about family for a minute. How important was your wife's support?
Crucial.
In ministry?
Crucial.
Yes.
Because with the ministry, you know, being born again is one thing, and being believers, and that's crucial to have a believing wife.
Yes.
But being in the ministry is a whole other animal, and I couldn't have done it without my wife. Because Jesse is, you know, I get out front and I speak a lot, and people see me, but Jesse is the one that does all the work. You know, she's the one in the background that people doesn't see a lot, and Jesse's a prayer warrior. She's a faster. She can fast like nobody I've ever seen, and, you know, when I felt like I was called and led to be in the ministry, the first person I talked about it with was my wife. And there was no hesitation. She was on board. We knew what it was, what it would cost us. We knew what it would entail, the things we couldn't no longer do and the things we couldn't be a part of. And trust me, it wasn't an easy decision. There were people that were against us to do it. And what I mean by that, not in a bad way, just, you know, didn't understand what we were trying to do at the time. And Jessie was behind me 100%. So I couldn't do it without her, because when God calls one, he calls two.
See, and I agree.
You know,
agree.
When there's people she can minister to that I can't, and vice versa. And if I didn't have her as part of it, listen, if you're a husband and wife and you're trying to be in the ministry, it's not going to be successful if both people aren't on the same team.
I agree.
You know,
I
if you're agree. Not if you're not behind each other, it's not going to go anywhere. You know, Jessie does things and for people that I couldn't even fathom doing, because she has a heart that's set to serve God, and it's crucial.
Amen. Amos 3:3. How can two walk together unless they agree?
100%.
So we're going to keep her, I guess.
Jessie's a keeper. Yeah,
Jessie's a keeper. How about your kids, Tony? Was it hard when you started ministry and stuff, kids and ministry?
Yeah, it's difficult. So we had three kids, and everybody knows my kids, Tony, Robbie, and Ellen. And, you know, there's years between them. So Tony kind of came in. Tony was already born when we went into the ministry. Robbie was born into it, and so was Ellen. So it was different times for each one of them. But as they got older, you know, it gets a little harder, because there's things, you know, the kids do, and you don't want them to do. It's a challenge. And all I could say for mothers and fathers that are Christians and born again, and mothers and fathers that are in the ministry, is the same exact thing my mother and father did, is instill the word of God in them.
Amen.
Pray for them. You know, my wife and I prayed for our kids constantly, still pray for our kids.
Yep.
And, you know, again, just like with my own self, and I'll go back on my own experience, you know, when it come time for me to get saved, I knew it. And when it come time for my kids to be saved, I believe they knew it. And,
amen.
But no, it's a challenge, and you got to stand on the word of God. And sometimes you got to be that aggravating mother and father that, you know, stands your ground and says, no, you can't do that. And it is difficult. It's hard, because the kids will push you. But, you know, thank Jesus, each one of my kids, you know, to their own benefit, they were very understanding at certain points, and you know they pushed me a little bit, but I'll put it to you this way: they went along with me a lot more than they pushed me.
So we're blessed.
Praise God,
amen. Amen. Uncle Bill has a question for you.
Well, yes, but when you said at first you got into the worship,
yes,
that's where God can really get close to you,
yes,
and let you understand. It's easy when we pray and ask God. But there's times we have a hard time hearing them.
That's true.
Or through the worship and the praise is when you get real close to Abba, your daddy.
Amen. It's true.
So what I was wanting to ask you is, what's your vision for the church in the future for our people?
So I guess I have vision twofold. Number one is obviously for more of our people to be saved, born again, the word to go out, our churches to grow. But I guess, because being where I came from, as far as being a young person saved, my vision and heart these days are for the young people.
Amen.
To make sure that they get an opportunity, that they're being used and fed, which, praise Jesus, there's a wonderful youth group here at New Life, and the church that was involved with years at Shepherd's House. But that's really where our future is with our youth. So I believe that we really need to, as a people, really focus on our kids and try to give them those opportunities that I had. Because I was only young when I started the worship. I was only 16.
Amen.
I didn't know what I was doing. You know, people taught us to worship and how to love the Lord. And then on top of that, you know, when I started ministering the gospel, I was just shy of 23. I was just a young man. But people opened the door and cut me loose. And that's what we really need to do as a people. And that's my vision, is to see this next generation that's coming behind us, my kids and those groups of people, to continue the work that's already been started, and to grow it and to make it even bigger, and to do more.
Amen.
Amen.
That's close to my heart, Tony. That's why I step back from the worship and try to push everybody ahead in that. Because we're not going to live forever.
That's true.
I'm lucky to hobble up and down the aisles, no less, do stuff anymore. But I wanted to ask you this one, because you've been in the ministry a while with your wife and your kids, and you've had, like everyone else, when you're in the ministry, sometimes it's smooth sailing, and sometimes you get storms, and you go through all that. So what advice or warning, if you will, would you give someone wanting to get into the ministry?
Two things. First of all, number one, as far as advice, be prayed up. Before you even make the decision, pray and ask God, fast, seek the Lord, and God will advise you. And go to good men and women of God and ask their counsel. You know, their safety and counsel. Go to good people. So that would be my advice. Prayer, reading your word, and asking God to lead and guide you. And the Holy Spirit will. My second thing I would tell you is be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't go into the ministry without that, because it's an empowerment. It's what the Word of God tells us we need. So if we're going to go out into a world and we're going to go up against spiritual wickedness, then we need to have the most greatest power that's available to us, and that's the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, to help us preach the gospel and tell people. I would tell people to make sure your family's on board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your wife ain't on board or your husband ain't on board, then don't do it until everybody's both on board, because it's a challenge.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of decisions that have to be made. My wife and I have had to make some pretty big decisions over the years with the ministry. It's going to affect business. It's going to affect a lot of things. Your kids, when they're growing up. And so you need to be prayed up and weigh the costs.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And then probably my warning would be this, is watch what you attach yourself to. That would be what I would say. Watch what you attach yourself to, because not everything that proclaims to be of God is of God.
Oh, amen.
That's good advice.
In the ministry, you know, one of the things that just for me, and this is just my personal outlook on it, because it's work for my wife and I, is stay in the ship. Stay with those that are like-minded. Don't drift off. You know, don't be every wind of doctrine, and, you know, stand firm on what you believe. And stick with God's word. You know, don't go outside those parameters. There's beautiful things we can study, and beautiful books and wonderful Christian authors and all them things. And I'm not against those things. But stay within the boundaries of the word of God.
Amen. Yes.
Stay with like-minded people. You know, when I'm here and I'm in Arizona, I like coming to New Life because I'm here with like-minded people.
Amen.
When I'm in Baltimore, I like being at Shepherd's House because I'm with like-minded people. I'm with people that share the same vision as I share, and they're not going to lead me astray and try to put things in there that's not, because it's very easy to put bad seed in the soil. And when that grows up, it's very hard to get it out. The bigger it gets, the harder it is to get out of there.
So
that would be my other advice, is watch what you attach yourself to.
That's good. That's good advice.
So this is a time in the podcast we like to give you, especially being a minister, if there's anything on your heart you'd like to share, or any scriptures or whatever you feel like doing right now.
Yeah, so I am going to share a scripture. So one of the scriptures I leaned on heavily, my wife and I, was this one. It's in Deuteronomy 31:6, and this is my favorite scripture. It says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that does go with thee, and he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And that's repeated again in the book of Joshua. It's a very popular scripture, but that was the Lord actually speaking to Moses. And when you hear it in Joshua, Moses is actually telling Joshua what God had told him. And, you know, my wife and I over the years, praise Jesus, God has been with us through a lot in the ministry and life. But, you know, there is going to be times when you're a believer and when you're in the ministry or any of those things where you are going to face storms. And I'll just share this real quick as a little testimony with this scripture. And there's another scripture that tells us to be still and know that he's God. About 15 years ago, my son, Tony, my oldest son, was diagnosed with type 1 juvenile diabetes. And as was my girl 6 or 7 years later. Now, there's worser things. I understand that. And there's people that's had much more bigger challenges. But at that particular moment in time, it was the most challenging thing we had ever faced.
Right.
It was very uncertain. You know, we were believers. My wife was a believer, but it was upsetting. And I remember, I mean, people say, well, it's not that bad. Well, at the time, my boy was 11, and I have to tell him you have to take 5 or 6 shots every single day just to function. Yeah.
Amen.
Imagine telling that to an 11-year-old and it being your own kid, how heart-wrenching that would be.
Unreal.
Yeah. And it was.
Yeah.
So I just remember going home from the hospital that first night and just being so upset. I went back to take a shower, and I was driving home, and people were calling us and all these things, and I heard just on the radio a song that was singing, "Be still and know that I'm God." And then this scripture about being strong and of a good courage come to mind. And I never felt the same about the situation afterwards.
Amen.
I felt the peace.
Praise God.
And my wife and I come home, and I remember my wife taking her two hands on her head, putting them just like this, laying hands on herself.
Amen.
Literally laying hands on herself. Like her put her hands herself, on her too, yeah. And just praying that God would give her peace of mind.
Yes.
And God did. Amen. You know, he did. He did give her peace of mind. He gave me peace of mind. And, you know, and then 6 or 7 years later, it happened again. And I can remember calling Bill's son, Bill, Pastor Bill, on the phone. And just, my girl was waiting in the car to go to the hospital in the back seat, crying her eyes out because she knew what it was because of her brother. And me in the car being sensible and telling my wife, hey, I left something up in the room. I got to walk upstairs for a minute. And I went in and I locked the door of the bedroom. And then I locked myself in the bedroom closet. And I just started screaming and crying. My eyes out, like, too. God, I can't believe I'm going through this again.
Amen.
And the first person I called was Bill's boy, Bill. And I couldn't get the words out. I was so upset to pray for me because I couldn't believe it was happening again. After all this, and we battled through it, and we got through this. Amen. And here we are again. But again, the Lord showed up, and he did it again. And, you know, all I can tell you is this, is praise Jesus. My kids are perfectly healthy. My boy Tony's sugar numbers are that of somebody that isn't diabetic. And that's the God's honest truth. Like, if they check his blood sugar, it's the same as mine. You know, it's as if he's not even dying. He takes his medicine. He does everything he's supposed to do. And my girl is just about the same. And they're all married, got two beautiful grandbabies.
Amen.
So God's been good to us. Amen. And my point with all this is, you know, through the ministry and through being a believer, we're going to have our ups, we're going to have our downs, Amen. We're going to have our hills, we're going to have our valleys. But I'll tell you this, it's been in the lowest parts of any of this that my wife and I have come out stronger on the other side.
Amen. Amen.
When my family's come out stronger on the other side, because we Praise truly God. Have seen the goodness of God. We've seen what Jesus can do. And I'll end it on this, unless you have another question. I'm very thankful for all the ministry that God's ever put in my life, for
Amen.
All the men in Cornerstone. Love each and every one of them. Amen. For this church, for Pastor Charlie, Anime, this podcast, Bill here, Amen. All the men and women of God, Pastor Ernie and Joan, I love them like I love my own family, Amen. Shepherd's House, Georgie Wood for witnessing yes. to me and telling me Amen. About Jesus and allowing Amen. Us to do things. Just all the people that God has put in our way. Pastor Huey and Jean down in Florida, just Amen. All the things that we had learned over the years. God's been so faithful and he's been so good to us. And I'm so thankful for each and every one of them things, because Amen. Without them, they'd Praise be, God. You know, I'm thankful for these beautiful podcasts. These are wonderful things, and we need to encourage one
Amen.
Another and keep doing them.
Amen.
Praise God. That was beautiful, Tony, and we want to thank you for coming on and taking time to do this and helping us out and supporting us. And we love you just as much, because when you're here, we use and abuse you.
I'm glad to be used and abused. It's Amen. Good to be seen. Trust Amen. Me.
Thank you, Tony. Your podcast today was very encouraging. I Amen. Appreciate
you. Thank you, guys. I'm glad to do it.
And I got a scripture we were talking, Philippians 1:6. It says, be confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you, Amen. Your wife, will complete it until the day of Christ.
Amen.
He'll work and complete everything.
Amen.
The
yes.
children, the things that hurt them. He's going to complete
yes, he will.
The desires in your heart.
Yes, he will.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
God He's a good deacon, too.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. We hope you enjoyed it and was encouraged. Please follow us on Spotify for new episodes every week. If you download the Spotify app, which is free, it makes it much easier to find us. We'll be posting the link each week on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may you grow in His Word and Spirit. God bless.